Feel good, amen. I forgot to mention earlier that the young people went out soul winning, and I know the teens reported in they had 10 saved tonight at on teen soul winning, amen. And that's the Great Commission, folks, doing it right here. The Bible uses the word both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, amen. So we want to continue to do our part here, but what we're hearing about during missions conference is folks that are taking it outside to the uttermost parts of the world. And so again, one of those parts you'll hear about tonight, Brother Michael Turner is going to come. You come on, my brother. Go ahead and put the screen down if you guys would. I will just say this tonight. As church, this is the second missions conference in church that I've been in with Brother Turner. And he was at our missions conference in Salisbury. And he was there. And the church in Salisbury is taking them on for support. And we want to be able to take him on for support as well here. He's going to the country of West Africa. So you take it from there, my brother. We're so glad that you're here with us.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, amen. We serve a great God, do we not?
Amen.
Amen. And we're so excited to be here. Like you said, my name is Michael Turner. My wife's name is Victoria. We have two beautiful daughters, one that's a year and a half old. Her name is Phoebe. And then as of today, my second daughter is 2 weeks old, and her name is Esther. And we are so excited to go to the region of West Africa. We're going to be in specifically the country of Benin, and we are so excited to take the gospel there. And we've already lived in Burkina Faso, West Africa, for 6 months, getting to learn a little bit about what it's like to live there, to see the culture, to see the need, and to learn the language a little bit. And while we were there, we realized that West Africa is really hot. So Burkina Faso gets to be about 100, 125 degrees just about every day. And not only that, but we only have two seasons to look forward to every year. We have the dry season, we have the rain season. And in Burkina Faso, well, in Benin, let's talk about Benin tonight. In Benin, we have 6 months of rain season. And during this time, it just means that it's going to rain. It just means that it could rain. It doesn't mean it's going to rain. But if it does rain, typically it floods everything. And the other 6 months of the year, we don't see a single drop of rain from the sky. It's incredible. And we eat some of the most delicious food in the world, I'm telling you. We have this dish over there that are made from cassava plants, and it's called pat. And so it comes in different colors. There's the pat rouge and the pat noir. And the pat rouge is red. And typically on top of this red, it's a dough. So it's a red dough, and what they do is they take some tomatoes and some peppers, and they put it on top of it. And you just eat the dough with your hands, and you just kind of scoop up that sauce there. And then there's a black dough there, the pat noir. And this one is typically got a tomato sauce or a spinach sauce on top of it. And there's another one there that's white. We call this one yams. And this one is covered with a fresh mint leaf sauce. Now, I like the yams the most because it comes with fried cheese on the side. Man, it's good. And with the other dishes, they serve it with some junk fish that they'll throw in a pot of oil, and they'll boil it, and they'll cut you a piece about that big. And you're just praying to God that you get the body. Otherwise, you got to eat the head or the tail, and those aren't always the most appetizing. And sometimes you go to a restaurant and they'll say, hey, would you like fish or would you like meat? And if you say meat, then you get two pieces of meat about that big. And the reason why we call it meat is because we have no idea what it is. Right? So sometimes it could be beef and sometimes it could be goat or sheep. And one time I had some guys that were living at my house and I said, hey, could one of y'all go grab us some dinner? He said, sure. So he runs out, he grabs some dinner, he brings it back. We start eating it. I said, man, this is delicious. What is it? He said, I don't know. Woof, woof. And so I'm pretty sure we ate dog that night, and it was delicious. But these are some of the most sweetest people on the planet. Their average wage a day is roughly about $3.25. And they're not finding contentment in worldly things, but they find contentment in taking a couple pieces of charcoal, stoking a fire, steeping some tea, and drinking it out of a shot glass until it's all gone with their friends and family. And they are some of the sweetest people I've ever been with. And I love them so much, but at this time, we're just going to show a quick video, and then I'll come back up and finish.
West Africa is a region rich in culture, vibrant communities, and a deep spiritual longing. The people are closely knit and bound by love and compassion for one another. They gather around food, share tea by the fire, and bond over soccer matches. Yet many of these families live with a misguided sense of hope, believing that one day they will reach heaven. They immerse themselves in various faiths, whether through Islam, the prosperity gospel, animism, or seeking guidance from witch doctors, leading them into spiritual darkness. Despite this, millions still long for the true message of hope. They are waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hi, my name is Michael, and this is my wife, Victoria. And we are the Turner family, missionaries to West Africa. When I was 17 years old, a friend from school invited me to church, where I heard the gospel and accepted Christ as my Savior. On that day, I prayed to God saying, Lord, if you're willing to give your all to me, then I am willing to give my all to you. From there on, I started following the Lord and saying yes to any doors he opened.
I grew up in a Christian home where I got saved at the young age of 8. As I got older, my desire to serve the Lord only grew deeper. My heart was deeply burdened to share the gospel with those who have not heard it. We had the privilege of spending 6 months in Burkina Faso, West Africa, during which God placed a deep burden on our hearts for the people of West Africa.
Our vision is to plant multiple churches by learning the local language, evangelizing the lost, discipling the believers, and training nationals for ministry. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us in prayer and financially as we seek to bring the gospel to West Africa. We ask that you'd also join us in praying for our efforts and for the lives of the people we are called to serve.
Avant de le ténèbre, maintenant je suis venu dans la lumière et j'ai décidé maintenant de prendre mon temps pour servir l'éternel, mon Dieu. Donc c'est un grand plaisir de gagner le salut parce que je vais aller au ciel après ma mort. Donc c'est un grand plaisir pour moi parce que ça a changé ma vie beaucoup. Donc je remercie Dieu pour cela.
Most of West Africa is predominantly Muslim. And in the region in which, or the area in which we are, these are not the devout kind, the ones that are killing Christians and kicking people out of their country, but a lot of them are kind of like the people around here in Florida that claim to be a Christian, yet they don't go to church anywhere. They've never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And you see, and a lot of them, they come to church and they'll get saved, and what'll happen is, just like this young man that you saw in the video, his name is Arno. And Arno was 23 years old when he came to church and got saved. Excited about what he did, he ran over and said, Mom, Dad, I got saved. I want to live for God. They said, that's great, son. Why don't you pack your bags and get out and don't ever come back. They're disowned by their family members for living for God. You know, and Arno had a decision to make right then. He said, you know what? Do I pretend like this didn't happen and say, you know what, Mom and Dad, let's just pretend like that didn't happen. I'll go back to my room and I'll just live life like normal. Do I say, you know what? I'm going to live for Jesus secretively. That's not what he said. He said, you know what? I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow. And that's exactly what he did. And he's been in the Bible college the last 3 years, and he's finishing up his fourth year. And when he finishes, he'll be the pastor of that church, Église Baptiste de la Victoire du Zugadese. And we're so excited, but there's so many other people there that will never place their faith in Jesus Christ because they're afraid of being rejected by their friends and family. Others there might come and get saved, but they will never come back and give glory to God because they're afraid of being beaten or rejected by the ones that they love. Others there, they believe in a cult that's called the Christian Celeste. And in this cult, they're told that they are to memorize the Mosaic law and keep it. And if you keep the law to a T, then you can go to heaven. Because these people have never heard of the book of Galatians, which tells us that the law was given to us to condemn us, to be a schoolmaster, to show us our need for a Savior, to point us towards Christ. But they have never heard the name of Jesus Christ before. And the scariest religion we have there in West Africa is those that run to the fetisher. That's to say the witch doctor. You see, in the witch doctor, he entices them in. He says, look, I can give you hope. I can give you peace. I can give you safety. Just buy this ring. Buy this necklace. Give me some money. And what he does is cause them to sell their souls into damnation, inviting demonic presences into their lives. And most of Benin, a country of roughly about 20 million people, has never heard the name of Jesus Christ before. And so that's why we desire to go. But if you have your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter number 10 tonight. Romans chapter number 10. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he created the heavens and the earth, he also created you and I. And he didn't just create us with no rules, because then we can live in chaos, but he created us with rules so that way we can live in order. You see, but the scripture says in Romans 5, number 12, it says this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In other words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not one. And that word sin means anything that we say, think, or do that breaks God's law. And the scripture makes it very clear that each and every individual who ever has lived, is living, or ever will live, has sinned against God and broken his law, save the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, but the scripture says this, that there's a punishment for breaking God's law. Just as if you were to go out here and to kill somebody or steal something, you're likely going to go to jail. You see, but the scripture says this, que le gage du péché c'est la mort, mais le don de Dieu c'est la vie éternelle par Jésus-Christ, notre Seigneur. For the wages, the punishment, the price for your sin is death. You will spend the rest of eternity separated from God in eternal hell. You see, but that's not the end of the story, because God loved you so much that he didn't want to create you so you would sin against him so he could cast you into hell for all of eternity. No, no, no. He loved you so much, the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God, he commendeth, or he shows forth his love towards us, and that while we were actively sinning against him, Christ died for us. Wow, what a sweet God. See, he sent his son Jesus to die for us, to give us eternal life. And the scripture says, if you want to receive eternal life, this is what you have to do. Right here in Romans chapter number 10, look with me in verse number 9. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says very clearly, if you'll just say Jesus is God and believe that God rose him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's nothing else to it. Look what he says in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice what it doesn't say, church. It doesn't say you got to be black or white. It doesn't say you got to be old or young. It doesn't say you got to be rich or poor. It doesn't say you got to be powerful or powerless. It doesn't say you got to be smart or dumb, ugly or smart. You got to have a deep voice or a squeaky voice like myself. You got to be short or tall. It doesn't say any of these things. All it says is that whoever decides they're going to call on Jesus Christ for salvation, he'll save them. Praise God. You see, but I see two times in Scripture this phrase called the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And just as we talked about in Romans 6, 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, and for us to really understand what the gift of God is, we have to understand what a gift is. And so I have this $5 bill here. And I worked pretty hard for this $5 bill. And then I reached into my pocket and I got it. And you know what? I'm going to give it to you. What's your name? Colin? Well, Colin, this is a gift to you, right? And I got this $5 bill, and it's going to be a gift to Colin. And as I go to give it to him, I say, but Colin, I need you to do some work for me. I need you to go cut my grass and do my dishes, and can you do my laundry for me? And then once you do that, I'll pay you $5. Is it a gift anymore? No, because it's work. What if I say, hey, Colin, I'll give you this $5, but you owe me $10. Is it a gift anymore? No, because he's got to pay for it. What if I say, hey, Colin, I'll give you this $5, but you got to lead 3 people to Christ this week. You got to make sure you read 3 of the longest books of the Bible this week, and you pray for like 6 hours. If you could do that, I'll give you this $5. Is it a gift anymore? No, because it's something he's got to earn. You see, but a gift is something that's already been paid in full. It's complete. And all I have to do for him to take it is stretch forth my hand, and the only thing he has to do to receive it is to take it. Go ahead. And now that he's taken it from me, it no longer belongs to me. And if I was to take it back, I'd be stealing. No, you see, that belongs to him now. It's his. And you know what God is saying? God is saying the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is to be able to spend the rest of eternity in heaven. He says, look, I'm stretching forth my hand to you, and the only thing you have to do is to receive it. All you have to do is reach into my hand. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to pay for it. And to tell you the truth, you couldn't earn it. You couldn't work for it, and you couldn't pay for it anyway. You see, but Jesus says all you got to do is take it. And the scripture says that once you take it, no man can pluck you out the Father's hand. That you're sealed until the day of redemption, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, but I want to point your attention to this. Tonight, just now, you got the opportunity to hear the gospel. Whether that was the first time you heard the gospel or the 100th time you heard the gospel, you had the privilege to hear the gospel. Now think about this. There is 465 million people that live in West Africa right now. And a very few of them have ever heard the gospel before. Probably close to maybe a couple thousand of them might have heard the gospel before. You see, but look what the scripture says here as we continue in this passage of scripture. Look with me in verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" You see, in other words, he's trying to say to you, God is trying to tell you that if nobody goes to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, then they won't be able to hear about him. And if they can't hear about Jesus Christ and what he's done for them, they can't believe in him. And if they can't believe in Jesus Christ, they can't call on him for salvation. If they can't call on him for salvation, they will die. They will go to hell and spend the rest of eternity separated from God. How sad is that? You see, but I want you to keep that in mind. If we don't go and take the gospel to other people, they will never hear it. Go with me to John chapter number 4. And I know this is a familiar passage because we looked at it once before this week, but maybe we can shed some new light on this passage. Look at it from another perspective as we think about this other passage in mind. And I want you to think about this. Where are your eyes? Where are your eyes? You see, Jesus here, he's with his 12 disciples, and they're in a place called Judea, and they're leaving out to go to Galilee. And there's a couple different routes that they can go. They can go on the coast. They can go through the mountains out to the right of Judea. They can go through the mountains and up, all the way up, and then they'll go out of the mountains to the left a little bit, and they'll end up in a place called Galilee. You see, but there was a third alternative. There was a faster route, a more direct route. And this route would have taken them through the city of Samaria. You see, but the 12 disciples and Jesus were all Jews, and it was a known practice for the Jews to not even go through Samaria because they hated them so much because they were a Jew-Gentile mix, they were a half-breed. And they made it a part of their daily lives to not even go through the city of Samaria. But look what Jesus says in verse 4. He says this, "But he must needs go through Samaria." And as they go to Samaria, they end up in a place called Sychar, and they get there, and Jesus, being weary, he goes to the well, and he starts talking to the Samaritan lady. And while he's at the well talking to the Samaritan lady, look what he says it happens in verse number 8. In verse number 8, "For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." You see, his disciples went into the city to go get some lunch. And Jesus is out here talking to the Samaritan lady, and he's revealing things unto her that she's never shared with him before. And he starts saying, "Hey, look, could you give me a drink of water?" And she says, "Who are thou to ask me of a water? I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew." And look what he says in verse number 10. He says, "If thou knewest the gift of God," that's interesting, "and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters." And he starts revealing a little bit more about her that she didn't tell him already. And look what she does here in verse number 25. It says, "The woman then saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things." And look what Jesus' response to her is. "I that speak unto thee am he." I'm the Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the Savior of the world. And I can give you living waters if you'll just trust in me. And notice what happens here in verse number 28, it says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which showed me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" You see, she got saved right there. She realized it's the Messiah. She put her faith in him and she started telling other people. But notice what's going on here. At the same time that she's at the well meeting Jesus, the disciples went into the city to go buy meat. Now, I imagine if Jesus is tired, the disciples got to be tired, right? I mean, they're just ordinary dudes. He's the Son of God. He is the God-man in the flesh. He is God. And he's tired, so they must be tired. You see, but I think it's interesting. He sends all 12 of his disciples into the city. If I was going to send somebody to go get lunch for all of us, I'd just send one guy. I'm not going to send everybody to go get it and bring it back. But he sends all 12 of them into the city. You see, and what I imagine the disciples are doing as they go into the city is, why are we here? Why did Jesus make us come through here? I hate these people. I wish God would send down fire from heaven and kill them. I don't even know why we're here. They don't need to know Jesus. And they start muttering these things under their breath. I don't even want to buy meat from this guy, but I'm going to do it because I'm hungry. You see, but look what happens here. As this lady is going out to go tell the city about Jesus, it says this in verse number 31. In the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? In other words, the disciples went into the city, they bought some sandwiches, let's say. And as they get their sandwiches, they come out, they say, hey, Jesus, I got you a sandwich. I know you're hungry. And Jesus says, hey, boys, I have meat that you know not of. So the disciples look to each other like, what? Who gave you a sandwich? Who gave you that? I just went into that city. I didn't even want to be in and bought something. I didn't even want to pay for from those people that I hate. And now you're telling me you already eat? You tell me who gave you a sandwich. I'll punch him in the throat. That's what I imagine the disciples are doing, because that's what I imagine I would do. You see, but look what Jesus says here in verse number 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish it, and finish his work. In other words, hey, boys, I wasn't talking about a physical meat. I was talking about a spiritual one. Now look what he says in verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. In other words, hey, boys, I sent you into the city to go get a spiritual meat, not a physical one. Now, if you're hungry, you could have ate, but that's not the main reason why I sent you in there. I sent you into the city to go tell those people about me. But you didn't do it. That's okay, boys, because guess what? Although you guys didn't work, although you guys didn't tell anybody about me, although you didn't labor, other men labored, and you entered into it now. Well, he's talking about two different people here that labored. The first one being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus labored by revealing himself unto the Samaritan lady. You know who the second person was? It was a Samaritan lady who got saved. Look what it says there in verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot. Notice why she even came to the well in the first place. She came to the well to get water. In Africa, we have wells all over. And people will come to the well early in the morning. They will be there for hours because that's their source of water. And so they'll come early in the morning in the cool of the day. And they'll come and they'll grab their water for cooking, for cleaning, for drinking, for bathing, for whatever it is they need. They'll get it all in the morning. You see, and they would go and they would get that water. And you see, but notice what it says there. The woman that left her water pot, she left the one thing she came for because she got something else. And she ran into the city. She said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Wow. She caught the vision. You see, and it's incredible what she did, but you see, oftentimes we end up not being like the disciple, or we ended up not being like the Samaritan lady, but we end up being like the disciples. We're so focused on our sandwiches, let's say, that we neglect the souls around us. We're so focused on ourselves that we neglect to talk to the people that are already around us. We're so focused on ourselves that when we go to work, we're so worried about our paycheck and getting our work done and going home to go see our family and what's for dinner that we neglect our coworkers. No, we're so focused on our schoolwork and our extracurricular activities and that girl that we like that we forget our classmates. You know, we're so focused on how good our house looks and our yard looks that we neglect our neighbors. No, we're so focused on that cheeseburger from that restaurant that we're going to that we neglect the waiter. We neglect the person who gave it to us in the drive-thru. No, we're so focused on our grocery list. Man, you guys could probably relate, but You know, we go to the grocery store because our wife gave us a grocery list, and we're so focused on making sure we get everything right so we don't sleep on the couch that we neglect all the people that are talking to us in the store. You see, because we're so focused on ourselves, we neglect the people we're already talking to. We're so focused on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. You know why? Because you can eat as much food as you want. Nobody calls you fat. It's wonderful. You see, and we're so focused at Thanksgiving about the food that we just ate, the football game that's coming on. We're so focused on the Black Friday sales that we neglect our family members. We have no idea where they're going to go when they die. And oftentimes, it's not that we don't care. It's just we care too much about ourselves that we neglected them. And that's what happened here with the disciples. They were so focused on themselves and why they couldn't be there. They were so focused on themselves and why they hated the Samaritans. They were so focused on their sandwiches and the task before them that they neglected all the souls around you. And what I want to say is the same thing that Jesus said here. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. In other words, there's so many people that are lost and dying and going to hell. And we just need to look up at them. We need to take our eyes off of ourselves. What I'm saying is as you pull through McDonald's, I travel a lot. We drive all the time. And one of the things that's usually open and quick is we go through McDonald's sometimes. We don't have McDonald's in West Africa, so we just try to eat a lot now. And I like to go get that double quarter pounder with cheese and the large fry and the large Dr. Pepper, and I just like to kill my gut, you know? And I go through McDonald's, and I'll order, and, you know, I'll have with me, and what I'm telling you is to bring a gospel track. There's so many back there in the rack, and if you took them all, guess what? That's a good problem. Pastor will buy some more, I promise. And he would love to. See, what I'm saying is pull out that gospel track. And as you go to pay, the lady hands you a receipt. And as she hands you a receipt, I'm saying, hey, I don't know you go to church here, but I'd like to invite you to mine. Wow, that was scary, wasn't it? It took all of 2 seconds to hand her a gospel track. And what I'm saying is this is the greatest thing you could have. You know why? The best part about a gospel track is it has the gospel in it. And then it's also got the church name, service times, the address. This thing has everything a person needs to get saved and come to church. And what I'm saying is as you're going through the drive, you say, hey, I don't want to go to church here, but I'd like to invite you mine. You're already talking to the lady. You already have to pay. Just say, one more step. I don't want to go to church here, but I'd like to invite you mine. And hand her the gospel track. And you know what happens sometimes? And I've seen this happen. As you go to pull up, that lady, she opens it up and she reads it. And you know what happens when she reads it? She sees the gospel for the first time, and she gets saved. Wow. You see, and that kind of reminds me, if we go over here to verse number 39, look what it says here. And many, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Notice what it says, many of the Samaritans got saved just because she told them about Jesus. You see, but you know what my favorite part about McDonald's is? They got two windows. And so your first window, you gave her a gospel tract, she gets saved. Well, then you pull up to the second window to get your brown paper bag of deliciousness. And as you're grabbing your brown paper bag there, you say, hey, I don't want to go to church anymore, but I'd like to invite you to mine. And this guy, you know what? He takes it and he says, thank you. You know what they typically don't say? I hate you. They take it and rip it up and throw it back in your face. Don't ever come back to this McDonald's again. I'll never go to your church. They never say that. They 90% of the time, they say thank you with a smile. And this guy, he takes it from you, and he says thank you. You know what? But this guy, he don't like to read. Maybe he don't know how to read. Maybe he doesn't care to read. But you know what? He's never been invited to anything in his life. He's never been invited to hang out with anybody. He's never been invited to church. Nobody's ever invited to nothing. And you came through the drive-thru, and you cared about him enough to say, I don't know you go to church here, but I'd like to invite you to mine. And so next Sunday, he comes to church, and he sits in this pew, and he hears the preaching from God's word, and he gets saved. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Because you had a desire to eat a cheeseburger, two people got saved. And I believe we serve a sovereign God who placed that hunger in your stomach and that desire for that cheeseburger to make a divine appointment with two people's lives. You see, what I'm saying is to lift up your eyes when you're at the fast food restaurant. I'm saying to lift up your eyes when you're at the restaurant eating your burrito and all you're thinking about is how delicious it is, I'm saying look up at your waitress. Invite her to church. I'm saying when you're at work, I'm not saying during work, because typically they don't like you talking about Jesus during work hours, but on your lunch break and after hours in the parking lot, I'm saying, hey, I don't want to go to church anymore, but I'd like to invite you to mine. Start sharing the gospel with people. I'm saying at school, not during school while your teacher's talking, while he's teaching you, but what I'm saying is during the class break, during your lunch break, after school, before school, I'm saying, hey, I don't want to go to church anymore, but I'd like to invite you to mine. Or hey, do you know if you die today, you'd spend the rest of eternity in heaven? Hey, how can I pray for you today? Start spiritual conversations with people so you can open up an opportunity to share the gospel with people. You're looking up at them rather than yourself. What I'm saying is while you're sitting around that dinner table at Thanksgiving, I'm saying, hey, Uncle Joe, if you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? I know we just had that delicious turkey, but man, what if you choked on that turkey and you died? Would you go to heaven? Hey, what about when we go to the store? I don't know if you guys are like me, but oftentimes when I go to the store, people just start talking to me. They start sharing all their burdens to me, and I'm like, I don't even know you from Adam. Why are you telling me this? Sometimes they just share all their burdens with me. Sometimes some person comes up and they say, hey, can you grab something off the bottom shelf? They never ask me to get off the top shelf. And what I'm saying is you have an opportunity right then. You could say, yeah, let me get it for you. Or you listen to their burdens and say, okay, sorry. And I can walk away. Or I can remember we serve a sovereign God who probably placed it on her heart to come up to me, to start talking to me so I can share the gospel with her. And I can start talking to her about Jesus, giving her the gospel, inviting her to church. You see, I've got that option, or I can walk away. And you know what the alternative to giving somebody the gospel is? Is saying, you know what, that person's going to die to go to hell, and I don't care. That's what the alternative is. As we looked at in Romans chapter number 10, if these people don't hear about Jesus, then they can't believe on him. And if they can't believe on him, they can't call on him for salvation. Understand that. And so when I walk past somebody, I don't know if they're saved. And look what Jesus says. He says, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. In other words, he's saying, don't make excuses why you can't give the gospel. Because what if that person dies today? Or maybe think about it this way. What if you died today? What if the last thing that you had here on earth was that you walked away from somebody you were talking to without giving them the gospel, not knowing if they're going to die and go to hell, heaven or hell, and you died. And that was the last thing you did was neglect to give the gospel to somebody. And then that person dies and they go to hell. You know, sometimes we go to the store and we're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to see this cashier tomorrow. I'm going to see this person at this restaurant tomorrow because it was so good. I'm coming back. I get my groceries from the same person every week. So it's okay as I'm walking out the door. I forgot a gospel track. I'll give them one next time. There might not be a next time. They could die. They could go to hell. And next time you come in, hey, where's Jimmy? Oh, you didn't hear? Jimmy got in a car wreck and he died. Then you're thinking, well, did somebody else give him the gospel? That's not for you to decide. Was that person saved? Do you know? If you didn't ask, then likely chances probably no. You see, the thing is we make up so many excuses. Well, they're probably already saved, or somebody already else gave them the gospel, or maybe after I leave, somebody will give them the gospel. That's not for you to decide. Jesus says right here in verse 35, say now ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. But behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And you see, what happens sometimes is like that guy who was in the restaurant, and he didn't want to read the gospel tract, but he came to church and he got saved. Notice what it says here in verse 41. And many, many more believed because of his own word. You see, sometimes when you go to share the gospel, they don't get saved on contact. Sometimes they need just a little bit more of a nudge. Sometimes they just need to come into the church building. Sometimes they just got to hear it from pastor. But they get saved. Does it matter who led them to the Lord? No. Because the glory doesn't go to you. Doesn't go to me. It all goes to God. And the only thing that matters is seeing people get saved. And so what I want you to think about tonight, if we don't take the gospel to other people, they won't hear it. And get this, it's not just people in West Africa. It's not just people in Italy. It's not just people in Haiti. It's people right here in Florida. It's right here in Haines City. 17 years old in Knoxville, Tennessee, I'd never heard the gospel until a friend from school invited me to church every day for 2 weeks. The only reason why I went to church is because he offered me Chick-fil-A. But you know what? For the first time in my life, I heard the gospel, and I got saved. And now I want to see other people get saved. And that could be the difference in somebody else that you come in contact with. It's just you sharing the gospel, and they're reaching other people with the gospel. So I ask you, where are your eyes? Will you lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest? Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for this time that we get to have to be here. Lord, I thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross so we can have eternal life. And I thank you for raising him up from the dead so we can have hope of eternity. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody in here tonight who this is the first time they heard the gospel, that they're not 100% sure that if they died, they would go to heaven. Lord, would you prick their hearts? That they wouldn't leave this building knowing that they're going to die and go to hell. That they would come and receive the free gift of eternal life. And I pray for all those who have put their faith in you. Lord, would you help us to lift up our eyes, to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on the souls around us. Would you help us to stop trying to build our own kingdom here on earth, but to try to build your kingdom in heaven? Would you help us to fix our eyes on the things above, not on the things of this earth, but the things that sit on the right hand of the Father? Lord, would you use this message to work in the hearts of each and every person here? We ask these things in Jesus' name.